You're listening to the Blah Blah Show.
What do you think? No? Yes? No? Yes? Try it again? Okay.
You're listening to the Blah Blah...
Oh, let's try this. Okay. All right, you ready? Here we go.
You're listening to the Blah Show.
Welcome to the Blah Blah Show, the December 28th version of the Blah Blah Show. Today we'll be speaking to a variety of people.
Hello?
Hey, you're live on the blahblahshow.com.
What did I win?
You didn't win nothing, but I did want, if you had a moment of free time, I wanted to discuss with you all of the people that died this year. In January, you know, one that a lot of people will recognize immediately, right out of the gates, January 10th, we lost David Bowie.
Yeah, that one hurt.
And that hurt everybody. It was just, it was like losing John Lennon or losing Jimi Hendrix or, you know, Jerry Garcia. It was just, it's too much. And,
Yeah.
I remember after that happening, of course, you go and you relive all of your David Bowie memories, and then you try to create some new ones, because then you really start digging into his catalog. And I went and got David Bowie's Let's Dance album, which I'd listened to, you know, I'd listened to four or five of the songs on there. Now, Let's Dance is the album that Stevie Ray Vaughan was hired to play on before Texas Flood blew up.
Right.
David Bowie had asked Stevie, you know, to go on tour with him, and they wanted Stevie to strut around on a catwalk the whole time, and Stevie was like, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I went back and listened to that album, and every song, and then I found some new songs that I really grew to like, and, you know, and of course you've got Stevie playing solos on every single song, and I really hadn't listened to it enough to take all that in. And then I got into, you know, David Bowie's Low album, and got into some of his newer stuff, and then his final album, which is a very bizarre album.
You know what I always wondered about is, did David Bowie, did he hear Stevie Ray Vaughan somehow? Because it's before, like you said, Stevie Ray Vaughan blew up. And did he personally request to have Stevie Ray Vaughan because, you know, he said, I want that guitar sound? Or was it something that happened through, you know, management and the record label? I would like to know that, you know, did David Bowie hear Stevie Ray Vaughan before he showed up to do the session, or what?
He discovered him. They give David Bowie a lot of credit for helping launch Stevie's career. It was at that 1982 Montreux Jazz Festival in Switzerland. I've seen footage of that concert, and Stevie is killing it. You know, I've seen Stevie twice live. Nothing can compare to that, but that Montreux Jazz Festival, he is just, he's taking it to another level. So Bowie saw him there, and they became good friends there. Bowie said that he completely floored me. I probably hadn't been so gung-ho about a guitar player since seeing Jeff Beck with his band, the Tridents. Stevie said, you know, to tell you the truth, I wasn't very familiar with David's music. When he asked me to play on the sessions, David and I talked for hours and hours about our music. Well, we lost Ben. About funky Texas blues and its roots. I was amazed at how interested he was.
What part of
Delaware are you in?
I don't really know. It all looks the same.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not by the
McDonald's, a Dunkin' Donuts, and a Holiday Inn Express, and a Motel 6 every 8 or 9 miles.
Well, that's good.
I hate Delaware. I hate it.
Well, there's some really nice areas by the ocean, right?
Yes, but that's not where I'm driving.
Right. Right.
I'm a baby when it comes to driving, but anyway,
Are you enjoying being on the Blah Blah Show?
Well, I am.
There are no prizes.
Well, that's
I can't play any music because it's all copyrighted. I can play my own music, And my own music is kind of screwed up, man. I mean, it's kind of scary. It sounds stuff like this.
You're listening to the BlahBlahShow.com.
Hello? Hello?
Alan Rickman, okay? He died on January 14th. I don't know a whole lot about Alan Rickman.
Alan is a fine actor. I'll tell you a story about Alan Rickman. When Alan Rickman was 14, he landed the lead role in the Royal Shakespeare Company's production of Hamlet. They decided to, you know, what if Hamlet was actually really young but acted old for his age, older than his age? While performing that play, he developed super high fever, and he began to hallucinate. And the Queen was in attendance, and a lot of British muck. And Peter O'Toole was there, Laurence Olivier was there. As he began to hallucinate, right in the middle of the Royal Shakespeare Company production of Hamlet, he started doing a Tina Turner impression. And he thought he would never work again in show business. You know, then he kind of fainted. They took him off stage, took him to the hospital. You know, and he was fine, but he thought he'd never work again.
Wow. That's pretty random.
I just made all that up, actually.
You did?
Yeah, because I don't have anything anecdotal about Alan Rickman either.
Oh, okay. Well, that was fascinating.
That was pretty good, though, right?
Yeah, I thought the Tina Turner thing was a bit of a stretch.
That's my own life.
Right. That's something you would do. I've seen you do on numerous occasions, but you weren't hallucinating. You were doing it on purpose.
That's right.
He died of pancreatic cancer on the 14th of January this year. He was 69 years old.
He's British, right?
Yeah, he's from West. He was from West London, and he died in London.
And was he in Harry Potter?
Yeah, he was in Harry Potter.
Very well, he was a very well-respected actor. I just don't know. He's one of those actors that, he's in a ton of movies, but he's not necessarily the headline.
He's picked for his kind of dark portrayal of dark characters. He was Marvin the Paranoid Android in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
That is true.
And Marvin the Paranoid Android, he's like this really depressed robot. The fact that robots would get some kind of emotion and it would be depression. All right, well, you want to move on from that? Yeah, he was in all the Harry Potter movies. He was also the Caterpillar in Alice Through the Looking Glass was his last film he was in.
I get in a real bad mood when I have to drive through Delaware.
You remember that time when we were kids and we went to Delaware and we were driving through Delaware and Dad went in to get coffee at McDonald's and they put a booger in his coffee?
Well, it was Burger King.
It was a Burger King.
And then his remark...
Oh, you're right, it was a Burger King. Yeah.
Didn't really make sense, but it made sense, because had it been the Burger Inn, and
right.
him saying,
right.
what is Burger Inn, would have been like a Chevy Chase National Lampoon Family Vacation moment, but it was Burger King.
On January 18th, Glenn Frey, leader of the Eagles, died.
Yep.
And he died in Manhattan... Glenn was from Detroit. They had postponed their appearance at the Kennedy Center Honors because Glenn Frey had required major surgery for intestinal problems. He went into a medically induced coma after that, and then he died.
And he was how old?
He was 67.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how that's young anymore to die. Nowadays, you want to hear somebody, at least in their 80s, they die.
Abe Vigoda, there's somebody that died old.
Yeah, another...
Yeah.
Great talent.
Yeah, I mean, Abe Vigoda, that's a legend right there.
Yeah, that's probably one of the most unique human beings ever to have come to exist.
Yeah, everything from his work on Barney Miller to The Godfather.
If you were painting a beautiful Italian countryside and there was a color of the sunset that just you couldn't quite get right, so you just mix some colors together and mix them together, and then finally you find that color, and you don't even know what it is, but it's got to be there.
Yeah.
And he was that kind of actor where people just said, you know, this isn't working for me. Go get Pagoda.
Yeah, of course, you know, his character Phil Fish on Barney Miller, he had a persistent hemorrhoid problem. Which is a tough call, you know. You're called to play a character like that. That's, you know, you got to really study something like that.
Well, I can really relate to that because I have hemorrhoids. I'm not sure if I have a hemorrhoid or a broken tape.
All right, let's not talk about your hemorrhoids.
Oh.
Let's get back to Abe Vigoda. And I'm sorry about hemorrhoids. Yeah, I know. Anyway, I don't want to talk about them either, you know, because
all right.
Maybe I'll get a hemorrhoid sponsor. Anyway, prior to his actual death, Abe Vigoda had been mistakenly rumored to have died several times. In 1982, as far back as 1982, People Magazine said he died.
Yep. That's a good problem.
He died on January 26th. He was 94 years old. So there you go, a life well lived. You know, that's good, man. You check out at 94, you made it.
That's fine. That's almost too long.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I'll see you around. And my ride's here, you know. Okay, George Kennedy died February 28th.
George Kennedy.
Yep. All right, moving on. This could be the worst interview ever done. Calling your brother on his cell phone in Delaware.
You're kind of not naming anybody that anybody cares about.
Nancy Reagan, March 6th.
Nancy Reagan. I thought we were going to talk about dead musicians, rock stars.
Okay, right? I got a big one for you. You ready? George Martin, March 8th.
George Martin. Now.
The fifth Beatle.
There's something I can sink my teeth into.
Okay.
Now, here's a guy who completely and almost single-handedly revolutionized. Oh, look, now our other brother, Ted, is calling. Let's see. Can I merge this call?
That would be fantastic.
Well, I can't seem to do that. Suddenly my iPhone doesn't want to do that anymore.
George Martin was known as the fifth Beatle.
Yes.
And, of course, he took sound into the level of Technicolor sound through stereo.
George Martin is to the recording process whatever the guy is that developed the space shuttle is to space travel.
Yeah.
What was George Martin's educational background? Had he studied to be a conductor?
He had always been interested in music. He had always been studying music. He was in the Royal Navy Band.
He was a composer.
Yeah. In fact, he wanted to be the next Rachmaninoff, which is like, you know, at Rachmaninoff, people have mental breakdowns after playing that guy's stuff. So.
Okay.
So, yeah, he'd studied since he was a kid. He took up piano when he was six, and from then on, it was straight to becoming the fifth Beatle from there on.
How did he come to work with the Beatles? How did that relation?
It was through a guy named Sid Coleman of Ardmore and Beechwood. He told Brian Epstein, the Beatles' manager, about him. He thought that George Martin might be interested in him, and he had actually had considerable success with doing comedy records. And so Martin listened to a tape recorded at Decca and thought that Epstein's group was rather unpromising, but liked the sound of Lennon's and McCartney's vocals.
Okay.
And then they met again at Abbey Road Studios. Martin was impressed by Epstein's enthusiasm, and he agreed to sign the unknown Beatles to a recording contract. And so Martin was representing EMI. EMI! So,
and how did
the rest is
Martin and his lovely Mrs. Martin have?
How many what?
Kids.
Oh, how many kids do they have?
Yeah, I mean, are these kids running around in the music business today? Are they producers? Are they have nothing to do with music? You'd think with a dad like that, you'd be interested in music one way or another.
Yeah, he has four children, but I don't know who any of them are. And I think he always considered Ringo as, like, his fifth child.
Okay.
But, you know, Ringo's a whole nother bag of nails. Say again.
Do you want me to talk on this show, or is this just mainly like you want me to be quiet and then you just cue me in? Is that, are we live?
Gary Shandling. Work? Gary Shandling.
You call your guests beforehand to prep them, and you, just, no. you don't do that because I'm your brother?
No, no, I do. I do this to everybody.
I'm sorry, I get cranky when I drive through Delaware, and I just.
No, it's good. Gary, it's good. I want people now, angry.
Shandling. Now, I have a real anecdote about Gary Shandling. I am very proud of this.
Is this real? Is this real, or are you making this up?
This is absolutely real. A couple of years ago, five years ago, I went up to L.A. to celebrate a friend's 40th birthday. I think that's why I was out there. Anyway, and I was living in Savannah, Georgia at the time, and I saw that Gary Shandling was going to be having a tribute to himself at a famous comedy club down in, I can't even remember the beach I was in, and I can be honest with you, since I'd never heard of this place, but it's a well-known comedy club. It's not the one in Hollywood, but anyway. So I went by myself, and there were four or five opening comedians, all pretty big-name comedians, so that was great in and of itself. But then Gary Shandling came out, and, you know, he was probably only supposed to do 30 minutes, and he ended up, and it really was a tribute to himself and that he organized. At least that's what they said. And he did like an hour and 45 minutes, and it was like, and he even said, you know, he was just working out new material and the whole thing. And I always knew from the Gary Shandling show that, you know, of course he was brilliant, and any stand-up comedy special I saw, you know, but I didn't really, you just don't know until you see somebody live. And I didn't know what these other comedians were talking about when they all held him in such high regard. And but seeing his stand-up was like seeing Stevie Ray Vaughan play guitar live. It was absolutely amazing. And I was laughing so hard, and I was in the front row, that for about 7 minutes he just made fun of me. And that just made me laugh harder. But I'm so glad I got to see him before he died. I was really glad that I randomly decided to do that, because he was absolutely a master.
Right. And he had the gift, too. It's always the guys that end up dropping everything. He apparently was studying to be an electrical engineer, but realized he had a talent in creative writing, and dropped everything and went and worked for an advertising agency in L.A., and then ends up writing, you know, writing for Sanford and Son and Welcome Back, Kotter, all of these hallmark shows of the 1970s that you and I saw when we were kids. And so everybody in the industry had a lot of respect for him. And then, of course, when Johnny Carson loved him, and whenever he was on Carson, he always stood out, and they had actually, his name was being passed around as replacing Johnny Carson before Jay Leno took the rails.
Right, that's right.
I don't want to get into Jay Leno. I got a love-hate relationship with that guy, but...
Well, he's not dead. They talk about him, but
right, he's
maybe...
not dead. It's not, and I don't wish anybody dead. It's not what we're doing here, but... So I'm going to stop you from doing that. All right, so somebody else that died in March... Huh?
What?
Just want to mention Patty Duke died March 29th.
Do you regret calling me at this point?
No, I'm wondering, you know, maybe I should call somebody else to get the rest of the year, and who should I call? Who do you think I should call?
You could call Ted.
Well, he's been on the show before. I wanted to bring on some new blood.
I don't know. Nobody answers her. I don't call anybody anymore because nobody answers their phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Can't really. You know, you could do talk to text and then have a robot voice.
yeah.
or what the person's saying, but yeah. I don't know. I don't call anybody.
Right. I don't blame you. Check this out. What?
Do you leave voicemails anymore?
When I do, I usually use a different voice and create some kind of strange circumstance. And
try voicemail died in 2016.
What's that?
I think voicemail died at some point in 2016. I'm not sure what month.
Voicemail could have died this year too. What else similar that died this year? I think. I think writing people letters has been dead for a good 5 years, but it probably finally was taken off life support this year.
I think the sitcom is dead.
Sitcom, yeah.
I think it's officially dead now. It's been dead probably for a few years, but I think the sitcom is dead.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I've been watching some really good sitcoms here lately, some of my favorites, like The Young Ones, and Absolutely Fabulous is actually pretty.
Oh, I love Absolutely
pretty,
Fabulous.
Man, it's like Hunter S. Thompson level writing. Oh, I mean, it's
one of the best shows ever. You know what else is officially dead? That people have been, you know, debating, but the album is officially dead. I don't think anyone anymore should make albums.
Yeah, nobody's waiting for the next concept album, are they? You know,
I want to point out that I, as well as you, and millions of other people, love to listen to a complete album and love an album that is a front to back piece of art, of work. So I'm not saying the album is dead, like I couldn't wait for it to die. I'm just saying there's really, I think now we've got to discover what the new format is that is not just releasing singles. The album's got to evolve into something new. And what I think that may be, and maybe it's already happening, is with all the media technology that we have, a musician or a band really now is just a multimedia content provider.
Yeah.
And cool, because...
No different than a YouTube account.
What?
No different than a YouTube account, except that through, you know, the rights that you're afforded as a musician, you could receive more royalties than you could from a YouTube account just posting videos. But we've reached that point where, as a musician, you really basically just have what's similar to a YouTube account, because you're putting your content up, you're distributing it, and you're receiving the royalties now. And there aren't any record companies that are developing emerging artists. There's no John Hammond Sr. out there going and finding Robert Johnson and Stevie Ray Vaughan in his lifetime, you know, amongst many others, and setting American music on a path with these artists, this digging this gold out of the American musical soil. You know, none of that's... If it does happen, it happens completely by chance. It's not a purposeful thing.
Well, there's not an industry, like you said. There's not an artist mining industry anymore. All they really are concerned with are, pop stars that can sell a bazillion seats in stadiums and sell a bazillion downloads, which is fine. That's what that industry is now. Okay. I think it's kind of cool that, because when it was an industry that mined artists, I mean, how many sad stories are there of these artists getting completely ripped off? Well, now the artist has all the power in their hands. And so what I'm looking forward to is, I almost wish, and another, probably one of our most tragic, greatest, worst losses this year was, you know, Prince. You know, imagine if Prince had all the multimedia tools that we have today when he was 19 years old.
Yeah.
Imagine what we would have... I mean, how much music did Prince create that is still backlogged?
Oh, it's in an actual physical vault. I mean, it's exactly as you would imagine. It's hours and hours of videos, just tons of music.
an artist comes out like a prince, right? And they've just put themselves out across the internet through various forms of media. And they earn money by charging just like a serious radio subscription. You just subscribe to that artist.
Yeah.
And now they're providing you with, fully produced songs, concerts, behind the scenes. And so you're no longer getting this packaged album, but you're just getting this steady of really, really cool, rich content. And they don't have necessarily the oversight of record company or a group of executives that think they know what this artist should be doing. So it really is an interesting time. I would like to see more, and I'm out of it. You know, I'm 41 years old. I'm married with two. So I'm maybe not paying as much. Maybe this is being done. And I'm catching snippets. Like, I caught this show through, I don't even know what I streamed it through, called In the Basement. And it was the Chili Peppers. And it was like them rehearsing some of their new songs in this cool rehearsal room. And then they let somebody just come in and film it.
Yeah.
And it was, and they weren't doing any of their onstage antics, but they were so deeply connected to one another.
It was real. Yeah. They didn't care about. Yeah.
And for me, like a diehard, Chili Peppers fan. I mean, I watched it like it was three. They did four songs. I watched it three times in a row.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's check that out. Well, Prince's secret vault, according to the Daily News, of unreleased music, could produce albums for another 100 years. He recorded every day. Like he would work 18 hours in a day and have all these musicians waiting around to play the parts that he wanted. Or, he'd play them all himself. He had mastered well over 20 instruments.
But, this probably sounds really stupid, but I really wonder about someone like Prince. I really do believe this, and I don't have any proof, but I do think there are services for artists and huge celebrities where they get to the point, like a John Lennon, for instance, where they just don't want it anymore. And the only way out for them is to be declared dead. There's no other way. They can't just go off into the sunset but still be alive.
Yeah. Found it. And Prince is one of those guys, too, that, if anybody was going to do it, it'd be somebody like him. And the fact that he died in the elevator, the song, if the elevator in Let's Go Crazy.
Yeah.
He's talking about the elevator as a kind of a portal of place between the spirit world and our reality. And he dies symbolically in the elevator in Paisley Park, and it's all very sketchy. Okay. All right. I believe the microphones are on.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Sounds like the microphones are on. So.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Maybe we should play some intro music just to get us started. Here we go. Welcome to Opal and John, the Opal and John Show.
Hello.
And today we're going to talk about trees and plants and, how to take care of your garden. That was an abrupt stop. What do you know about taking care of, if you have trees in your garden?
Well, I have succulents and...
Please don't mind the sound effects. They're just built into the show, and there's nothing we can do about it. They're actually malfunctioning. So anyway, so you were saying?
Yeah, I have...
That was easy!
You have succulents. Yes, succulents are They are a wonderful addition to any garden because they're very easy to take care of. Isn't that right? They come from the southwest of the United States. And
yeah, you can't.
I'm sorry. As I said, our sound effects board is malfunctioning, so just bear with me. Anyway, how do you take care of your succulents, Opal?
I can see you turning on the sound effects. That's not. Oh.
We don't have a studio audience here, so that was the board again malfunctioning. So do you need to water the succulents? Do you keep them?
Well, you gotta water them like once right. a month. They're okay. Yeah, right. They're.
What's that?
Okay.
I just saw you did that.
I would just ignore that. I wouldn't pay that any mind whatsoever.
And take my no.
Pa.
Well, so Pow? Anyway. So, are there any other plants that you enjoy taking care of? And what kind of soil do you recommend? Do you recommend some kind of...
Well, I don't really know any soils. I just think soil and dirt.
Right.
I saw you.
I'm only pressing things over here because I'm trying to get this thing to stop working. Look, it's out of. It's a sound effects board. It's broken. It's broken.
Stop. Okay. Seriously.
All right. Well, all right. Let's get back to what we were talking about.
Are we still
live? Yes, we are. We're live.
So, yeah, I like bonsai trees.
Bonsai trees.
I mean, I've never had one, but
they're very difficult to maintain. I know that for a fact. I bought one for my mother, and she had a very hard time taking care of it. I apologize for that. Okay, I had these things do tend to happen from time to time. Now. What other succulents or cacti or ferns do you plant in your garden?
Our...
Well, that's going to do it for now here at the... What happened to my voice? Don't press that button anymore. Thank you. All right, that's going to do it for the Opal and John Show. We'll see you next week. Say goodbye, Opal.